Hello and welcome to How to Cry Monster. I'm your host, Neil Nestor.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm the tech guy, Mike Dews.
Mike Dews.
Mike.
Welcome back again, our good friend. Yes.
Mr. Deuce.
Today we will be talking about curses and runes. This is going to be very interesting because although we've talked about cursed things before, we've never talked about them fundamentally. We've never been like, oh yeah, the curses.
Right. There's a difference between the two, cursed objects and cursed things, people, tombs, tablets, runes.
Like
realms.
Being cursed versus cursed things. Like a curse.
Right. Versus an object being imbued with cursed power, cursed supernatural badness, essentially.
There's definitely places where you go that can easily cause curses and stuff like that to happen. Let's say you're walking down the street and you see a black cat and they curse you with bad luck. And although we've had like a bad luck conversation in the past, I can't help but always associate bad luck with curses because that's generally what they kind of like
mean.
That's what they're in the same family. You know what I mean?
That's what they symbolize.
Right. What do you guys' take on curses? Do you think they're a thing?
I'm cursed. As we spoke about in that episode, I just constantly have bad luck happening to me to the point where...
Oh, I'm aware.
My luck is neutral for the most part. Sometimes dipping down, sometimes dipping up. But for the most part, if something good happens, something bad happens to equally opposite it out.
That's how I feel. When I have a day that's just too good, I always think to myself... Damn.
Oh, dang.
The coming. Next day.
Something's happening.
They call...
Oh, my God. I think it is. It really is. Mine happened a couple days ago where it was the same day.
Right. We will be talking about that shortly. However, Mike, what is your take on curses?
What is my take on curses? Well, that is a complicated thing, but I think in general, I look at them the same way I do karma, which is what I feel like... Jules over here is dealing with, where something good and something bad happens.
Yeah.
But largely, I'd say, you know, if you do something bad in turn will happen to you, and a lot of curses kind of stem this way, you know.
What bad did you do, Jules?
We won't talk about that.
Mm. Maybe
I don't think I did bad. What'd you say?
Nothing. I'm not writing your name in the book at this very moment.
I'll hear it later.
You're just in someone's death note.
I think I am.
Or you, or they got like a voodoo doll of you somewhere and they're just poking.
All right, stop. Stop guessing. It's getting too close.
Hey. What the heck?
Don't worry about it, man.
You're like
I'm worried about it now.
I care about you so much.
Maybe your bad luck has some kind of bigger purpose, like with Kenny in South Park and Cthulhu.
Oh my God.
Like he has to die like every day in order to like satiate Cthulhu or something. It was something like
and
that.
Really? It That's stops the ending of the world, and I believe he's some form of superhero from space.
Kenny?
Yeah.
Kenny this is a
funny.
South Park thing?
Yeah.
I don't want that. You monster. I stopped watching when I was like 12.
You stopped watching?
Yeah.
I never started.
That's where you made the mistake. You're supposed to start at like, I don't know, year 6 of your life.
It seems like a very bad show to watch when you're 6 or 12.
You're wrong.
We can agree to disagree.
Grab down your desk, Doug. What's up with that?
It's the right.
Not the same person.
It's like how every young and budding man must experience Xbox Live. That way you can accumulate curses on your life.
You're
oh
funny
my God.
Because I never played Xbox Live.
That's why you're neutral.
I
wish I was.
But we should actually talk about actual curses. Not just me in general, but like cursed places, perhaps.
Let's talk about some curses that we already know about.
Yeah.
That we just know and love.
Absolutely.
What are some of your curses that you've written down, Jules?
Well, I mean, obviously there's my favorite that everybody knows about, King Tutankhamun.
Mm-hmm.
You know about this too, Mr. Deuce?
Mm-hmm.
King Tutankhamun?
Oh, yeah.
You've heard
of it a little bit. Yeah. I think it's a pretty typical thing for people to know about.
Is it Tut or Toot?
It's Tut. Because it's Tutankhamun.
Tutankhamun or Tutankhamun?
I've heard Tutankhamun.
I've heard Tutankhamun. In The Mummy, they call it Tutankhamun.
You mean the movie with...
Yes, where I get movie. All my information. Yes.
With Brendan Fraser.
Yes, the movie.
That's what I thought. I mean, I have the poster hanging in my room. I understand. Don't worry. We'll go with Tutankhamun.
Thank you. But did you guys know? Fine. Did you guys know, though, in 1920... Or do you know the history? Or may I regale you?
You may regale.
Please.
If I can remind you guys. In 1923, Howard Carter, a archaeologist... Mm-hmm. And a professor.
Yes.
Discovered King Tutankhamun's tomb and all the treasure inside. Unfortunately, though, they also found themselves the butt of the mummy's curse. The curse of the pharaohs promised misfortune to any who disturbed their rest of sleeping royalty in the valley. The Valley of Kings.
What were some of the side effects of this curse?
Well.
Was it just like death?
Well, there's plenty of things that came.
Oh.
And death, it came in the form of fires, floods, and even death. Some of the people that experienced this curse were Lord Carnarvon, who was a financier mm-hmm. of the expedition. His blood was poisoned from cutting a mosquito bite while shaving. He had a mosquito bite on his face. He accidentally cut it with the razor and it got infected and it ended up in, killed him.
Wow.
Yeah. Does this mean that curses understand who finances an expedition? Or is that not what a financier is?
Huh?
What is a financier?
The person who finances the expedition.
Why does the curse understand who finances
he
the
was
expedition?
There.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Sorry, I should have mentioned that.
He's sitting back in jolly old London. He's
no,
like, oh, geez.
He came and visited it once. They were like, well, I think we found something. And he's like, let me see what I spent my money on. And so I think he checked it out as well.
The curse knows who your second cousin's friend is and will curse them because they served you pierogi.
Speaking of, Sir Bruce Ingram, a friend of Carter, was given a mummified hand with a wrist adorned with a scarab bracelet that was marked with, "Cursed be he who moves my body. To him comes fire, water, and pestilence." Soon after, Ingram's house burned down, then when rebuilt, was flooded.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. But where's the pestilence there?
I don't think it came. I think it came to...
Maybe the house was already full of pests.
I was going to say, they don't talk about all the roaches he had.
There was other things that happened. George Herbert, the other financier, was infected with a mosquito bite. A lot of these are mosquito bites that happened from visiting the tomb and then having a bunch of...
The mosquitoes are the swords of the ancient Egyptians.
Yeah, they went through the tomb and they said, there is no curse. I think they were all in denial.
But meanwhile, they're hearing, like, in their ears...
Another person who only goes by A.C. Mace.
A.C. Mace.
That was the only name I could... was their initials.
When you spray
part of the excavation
spray.
Team, he suffered from pleurisy and pneumonia.
I'd say what?
Pleurisy.
What is that?
It's like leprosy, but the plural of it. Multiple.
Oh my gosh.
It really is.
I love how I said, oh my gosh.
You know we're about to talk about some biblical curses, and you don't want to bring them upon yourself.
I don't know. I could probably use some immortality, I'm not going to lie.
I don't think it would cause that. Pleurisy, also known as pleuritis, is inflammation of the tissues that line the lungs and chest cavity.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, so breathing in whatever dust affected the mummy.
Mm-hmm.
Then...
Gotta go down in that tomb with like an air filter.
A respirator.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Richard Bethel, Carter's secretary, was smothered in a... May Friar Club.
Okay, but
say
was
what?
Was his secretary?
Captain Thehon Richard Bethel.
Yes, and like
and he was smothered in a club.
He was smothered
so
in a club.
He was killed.
Okay, well, yes. That's like when people inappropriately use electrocuted to describe someone that was just shocked.
Yeah.
You know, smothered means dead.
Yes. he died in his sleep.
Poor guy. I mean, not really. He got cursed, but like... I mean, is it sad if someone gets cursed or not? Because usually it's like...
This person was a secretary.
Well, no.
What did they do wrong?
They were part of the team that set aside, like, opened the tomb.
I feel, in my personal opinion, I feel if you are disturbing someone's rest in this way, much like, they, I mean, obviously the mummies don't know a grave robber from an archaeologist because they're the
same
thing.
But the daddies know.
What?
I said, but the daddies know.
The daddies of what? Of who?
You said the mummies don't know.
Oh.
Okay. So.
That was really good. Looking, I didn't get that for a second there.
Like, what I mean with
the daddy.
The whole, like, excavation thing.
Yeah.
I know the mummies are like.
Also, they took his hand.
Who's they?
I don't think
the mummy did they like wake up and then go, give me your hand.
But Sir Bruce Ingram, he was a friend of Carter. Carter took off the hand with a bracelet on it and sent it to him. They also, Carter was an archaeologist of the Valley of Kings. He and other archaeologists at their time, they found multiple mummies. This is the most infamous one. But there's multiple cases of people that went and did archaeological finds in the Valley of Kings. And there was really no difference between them and the grave robbers because they would take the bodies themselves and turn them into medicinal like powders.
Oh, my God.
And eat them.
What the?
Between the like the higher class of Britain, especially, it was a big thing.
Yeah. I mean, my pharaoh dust.
In Victorian London, they had unwrapping parties.
Yes. Oh my
God. For mummies, where a bunch of rich people would hire a specialized unwrapper, and they would slowly unwrap a mummy, and they would pass around the bandages for, I guess, people to look at or keep or something.
Sometimes they would.
I'm going to use this as toilet paper.
No, I'm going to smell this every night.
Sometimes people would turn the, because it was already pretty much powder anyway. They would either set it on fire and then eat the ash and put it in the ash on like as a spice.
What?
No.
Yeah.
What? Every part of the mummy
was used.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Like
disgusting.
I understand when it's like. I mean, I know like in China, you know, when they find and dig up like dinosaur bones. You know, and then instead of, like, putting them on display or anything, they just instead, like, oh, I'm going to ground this up and call it dragon bones, and I'm going to put this in medicine and give it to everybody who's suffering from tuberculosis.
I mean, quite a few people did it. It wasn't just with the mummies from the Valley of Kings. They did it with just a lot of dead bodies.
Okay, so what you're saying is it's deserved.
Yes.
So
in this situation, for disturbing the rest and consuming a person's body in which there is like a culture that believes that the body can move on and physically help the person as their resting place, like have a tether to come back and see their loved ones.
They're about the pharaoh's like been waiting like 2 millennia to shake hands with Osiris. And Osiris is finally extending his hand, and then all of a sudden his hand just vanishes.
He goes,
and then Osiris does that thing from, remember that guy in the Olympics? Who,
yes.
Yeah, and then instead of reaching to shake his hand, he just like grabs it, grabs the nub. Oh my God.
Oh my, yeah. No, essentially, yeah. And then he's like, so what happened to your hand? And he goes, let me check my tether. And he goes, he turns around and opens a little hole and looks in and he goes, they're eating. And Osiris is like, what are they doing? He goes, the British. They took my hand and they're eating it.
They don't even know what British means.
No.
They like Osiris just looks at it and goes, curse those mother.
And then they did, and most of them died.
Yeah.
A lot of them, that was quite a few of the people. There were a few other undocumented cases of just other people in the crew that are miscellaneously had bad misfortune and perished.
Mm.
I mean, seldom do you die from good fortune.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, there's like a mix of it. Your good fortune could lead you on that path. And then if bad luck catches up with you, you know, it's like, oh my God, I want a trip to Hawaii. And you get on the plane and then suddenly there's engine failure and you guys are like plummeting into the ocean because the plane is thirsty.
Good fortune.
because the pilot believes the plane is thirsty. It needs to take a sip of water.
He had some cactus juice before he went on that flight.
Ooh.
No. Cactus juice is not good.
Yeah. Don't lie.
I've heard a few stories like that where people who do, you know, stupid things or get caught up in something like that, like, it just extends to the rest of everyone there.
Yeah.
And...
Well, especially if you spread the body parts among the people.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Yeah.
I still feel bad enough for the secretary. Like, did they also get it?
Did you say fair enough?
Yes.
Good.
Fair enough.
Good. Fair enough.
Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Pharaoh.
Enough.
Yeah.
Enough said.
It's either...
Yeah, a couple of the secretaries also got it. A
couple of them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's...
The curse of bringing somebody coffee.
Die.
Carter's secretary and Carnivon's secretary as well.
Damn.
Was he a fan of carnivals?
They caught the god's hands.
I mean,
Rakus Fist of Fury.
So, okay.
This is the bad joke podcast now.
Sorry.
Yes, we love it.
Got a lot.
That's what we're here for.
Got a lot of bad
Aside
jokes.
From talking, you know, about
what
monsters,
we're
mysteries, and yeah. paranormal conspiracies.
We also like making bad puns.
I've heard of other groups of people being cursed before, and I've seen it a lot in movies. I swear to God, there are way more movies about people being cursed with things than there are curses for things sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, Final Destination is probably one of my favorites.
Oh, I love that movie.
You know, nice. I mean, we can argue that is a curse. You know, the cleese of death, when death it wants you because you cheated death, and now he's trying to collect.
Right.
And, yeah, he's just doing everything. That's literally what happened to those people. You know,
yeah.
It was just Final Destination, but, you
Some
know.
Some of them were just caught in the crossfire, and they literally got...
Some of the characters?
Caught on the crossfire. Yes.
I mean, has anyone ever been caught in the crossfire of an actual curse?
Yes.
Like who?
The
secretaries.
Well,
I will be speaking over their innocence until the day I die. Probably due to a curse.
Probably due to being a secretary. So there is the curse of the Knights Templar.
Oh.
So on Friday, the October 13th, 1307, King Philip and Pope Clement V launched a surprise attack against the Knights Templar, and when Jacques de Molay, the leader of the Knights, after being tortured and imprisoned for 7 years and before being burned at the stake, he cursed both the king, the pope, and the house of the Capet family.
Yep, yep.
To destruction. Within a year, both the pope and the king died mysteriously. In the next few years, all three of King Philip's sons died. Also, his only male grandchild also died, giving the crown essentially to the house of Vacois.
Vacois?
Vacois.
Vacois.
V-A-C-O-I-S.
French is a very interesting language.
I was about to say.
It really is. Sometimes I know how to say it, and sometimes I just don't.
It'll be like, what's his name? His name is Poo. And then it's like...
Pois.
P. It's like P-E-U-X-E-X.
Oh, that's Poe. Yeah, that's Poe.
Poo.
No, that's Poo.
Poo.
Poe. Poe.
They don't even... They just have...
It sounds like no, but Poe.
No.
So that's N-E-U-X.
No.
No.
We all know. You know why they have all those bullshit letters.
I mean, I don't know why they have. I know they do have.
Early when they were writing the language, the king would pay the scribe per letter for each word.
Are you telling me it's the opposite of how we lost letters in the U.S.?
Yes.
That's amazing.
So because they were like, I'm paying you by the letter while making this language so...
so bad.
Not what it sounds like.
We're adding 17 new vowels to each consonant.
So, yeah, no, he was like, okay, you're paying me by the letter then? Okay,
okay. Here's another 400 more.
Here's another E-U-X.
So there's 17 ways to pronounce this one letter now. There's po, poo, pa, pi, o, o, a, e.
I just want to say this is how you get cursed by the French.
Well, I'm...
It is.
The French don't curse.
My grandmother was Canadian.
Why don't they curse? They seem like very...
No, they do.
They are the people. Ones who are cursed.
Speaking of...
Ooh.
Yeah, cursed to forever fly the white flag. I mean...
Oh.
I was going to say cursed to surrender. Damn.
we had.
The curse of the white flag.
I love the French. I love their cheese.
That's it.
Why'd you both look at me? Because I was going to say you're I like the French. And then you said the two things that like I would have said. And then I was like, well, that's it. Romance, maybe?
You were looking. No. You were looking at
that's
me.
That's right,
you
because both? They have no romance. They just have affair.
You both looked at me as if I had more to say, but I don't.
One of my favorite French things is
good
like
food. I don't know what to
it is. About. It is French to have an affair. It is American to get caught.
That is true. It is. Because if you're French, then
you would never get caught.
No, you're all having an affair anyway.
Oh yeah, that's fair. That's so fair.
I will say I do like how. Weirdly
That is fair.
That is a fair.
I do like how weirdly progressive the French are with sexuality.
So fair.
I don't
like
know about that.
They're no.
What?
No, they're not accepting.
Not the lesbian
much.
Love triangle.
A ménage à trois.
A ménage à trois.
That's my favorite wine. Have you had the ménage à trois? I've had a person ask for that at work. And I'm like, I don't...
Is that a cheese?
No, it's a wine.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is it good? Actually, no. It probably isn't.
Oh, my God.
It's okay. It's not my cup of tea. I like sweeter wines.
Curses and runes and how it's to piss off the French. That is this episode.
We are so dead. We're going to have so many French curses. Please, everybody listening, pray for us.
We'll just be American. We'll bring a weapon, and then they'll fly the white flag.
I was going to say... I don't know. I don't think they have enough time to spend on us dirty Americans.
I mean, we have some friends here where we are, and it's not good. No.
It's okay, y'all. I'm French.
I'm also French. Actually, though. I'm actually Canadian French.
I don't have an excuse.
Yeah, no, you don't.
I
also found out I'm recently...
I don't know what I just said, but I said something.
You didn't say... You said gibberish.
You said nothing.
Yeah.
I said snail.
I'm also Did Scottish.
You? Escargot.
I'm also Scottish on my grandma's side.
Oh, you're...
What the...
Scottish. Oh. A little bit, a little bit of Scottish Christian on my mother's side.
Ah.
Speaking of the Scots and that general region, are there any Norse things?
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned that. There is the Bjorkator runestone.
The what?
The Bjorkator runestone.
Oh.
Well, you know, sometime in the 6th century, 14 feet in height on one side.
Huh?
I'm sorry, I'm reading this wrong.
Wait, how?
The way I wrote this... was so bad. That's why I'm like constantly
14
stopping.
Feet tall on one side.
On the other, it is only three.
Observe, my son. He is 14 feet tall on one side.
I wrote this when I wasn't so good at writing bullet
points.
And
only 3 feet tall on the other.
So I have bullet points that don't lead to another line. It just leads further. There's like another bullet point that ends where it's the first one stops. And
that's
just
not how
going.
Bullet point lists
I
work, man.
I know, it's pretty bad.
I mean, you could make the argument like, you know how really short people have really big butts? They're like,
I don't know where you're going with this.
They're 3 feet. They're 3 feet tall standing up, but 4 feet when they sit down. They're like, they gain an extra foot when they sit down.
But I'm tisk. Damn. Anyway, made sometime in 6th century A.C.E. It's 14 feet in height. On one side of the rune is the phrase, I see perdition. On the other side, I can't read if you do. Shove it in for my face.
Well, why don't you turn your mouth to the microphone?
Stop it.
Shut up.
You like it.
I don't. I do. On the other side is a transcription that speaks of the power of the creator of the rune and indicates to anyone who breaks or disturbs the runestone, they will be cursed to insidious death and destruction, and it still stands intact.
Okay, so that's like a curse that people actually obeyed.
Yeah, they don't.
The rules
they don't. Yeah, they don't touch it because, I mean... If you read something that's like ancient and it says you will be cursed to insidious death and destruction, that means you're going to experience destruction and then the death that you have will be it will ruin your whole career. It's bad.
Are you claiming that the reason that
I became Scottish for a second,
the Egyptians lost all of their pharaohs and stuff is because they didn't use the word insidious? They should have been better at their curse writing. Well, because didn't that bracelet basically say, "Hey, I'm going to flood you, burn you, and then have a plague attack you"?
Well, I guess I think it matters with how it's presented because, you know, Egypt be like,
treasure?
Here are some pictures of a bird and a squiggly line.
But also,
don't fuck with me. And then the Norse are like,
the That's a weird way to present it, but no. Also, all of the Egyptians presented their stuff put into gold. All of the statues mostly were of giant, shiny jewels that these archaeologists. Right.
So in what you're saying, that's not how you should articulate a curse.
Because it was presented as an actual tombstone, made out of actual just dirt and stone that looks like. Well, okay. Norse people tend to be a little bit more respectful of their own culture. British coming in to see the tomb of a king and to steal his shit and his body and to eat it aren't probably going to care about whatever's written on the tombstone.
I would want to know if there's any Egyptian archaeologists that gone in and then been
respectfully
totally fine.
Taken
I would expect so. I would hope so. I mean, there's also, people that are just grave robbers and, trying to do that because they're like, I'm going to sell this to the British for money.
You could literally buy mummies on the street in Egypt during this time.
Yeah.
Very strange.
But there's a difference between.
I just want to see come across the vendor that's like, I make them myself.
Yeah. This one's fresh.
I got this one last week.
This is.
She fought hard.
Oh my god.
Do you want the mummy that's a fighter or the one that gave up so
she
easily?
She fights the UN. But no, I mean, I feel like there is a difference between a person from a different culture and different country coming in and going, I could colonize you or I could steal all of your kings and ruin and desecrate their tombstones versus a person who's a native born going, all right, I'm going to respect their place. I'm just going to take what I need to survive because I'm assuming the people whose culture it is, they're going to respect their own culture and the people whose they're warding against isn't the people of their own culture. The people they're warding against are the people that come in from other countries and steal and wreck and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, most countries do kind of respect their culture, but, sometimes they just don't. But, I would assume even the French would respect the French.
Ooh.
No, they don't.
They don't.
They really don't.
That's why I said it.
Yeah.
What
it's
I really,
funny you mentioned that because no.
What I really feel like this whole, monument is it's an artist who every time he built something it was destroyed by all the neighborhood kids and he was here's this curse and then on the other side he's like, by the way, I'm a powerful wizard and I will curse you so hard if you break this one.
Yeah.
I need to remind you that I am powerful.
I mean, there's places in America that have, that have had witches that have done similar things where it's like, if you kill me, I'll be cursed.
Yeah, but
burn me at the stake. And then they
burn
her anyway.
That was at
a
time where
next thing you know,
they were burning her at the stake and they're like, any last words? And she goes, well, if you kill me now, you're going to all be cursed and you're all going to die. And they're like, those are last words. If those are your last words, those are some pretty dumb last words. You should have just repented and said Christ as your savior. And then we wouldn't have, burned you. But here we are.
That's the thing. I understand why people are
exactly like that.
I stand by my values. I'm never caving for anything. But then it's like, well, now you just got yourself killed. You could have just left, after saying yes. It's like the whole thing with when people went to Japan and were being forced to convert to Buddhism or die. And then it was now step on this portrait of Mother Mary. And they're like, no, I won't do it. And it's like, well, if you do it, you get to go free.
Well, in that case.
And then they were like, no, never. And then I'm just like, are you kidding me? I think God will forgive you for protecting your life.
For protecting your life. But that is a person in their own religion, their own culture that is
them desecrating it for their reasons to stay safe and to stay healthy for their own, for them.
Mm-hmm.
That is for them, that person with their own stuff. That's not another person coming in and going, well, I mean, if I stomp all over Mary Magdalene, I mean, nobody's going to say anything except for God, and God doesn't exist. And then God comes in and is like, what'd you say? You outsider.
I was waiting in the other room for you.
I've been sitting in that chair over there for the last 50 years for someone like you to come in these doors.
You're just on, like, Ellen, and you're just like, yeah, but it's okay, because God doesn't really exist. And then she's like, well, do we have a special guest for you?
We have a surprise for you. And it's the hand. And just like a giant hand comes through the roof.
I heard you were talking shit about me, Nathaniel.
Why is your name Nathaniel? I thought your name was Jules.
No, it's not me.
Why would
you're saying I'm going to Ellen and saying God doesn't exist?
Yes.
I would never. What? Are you kidding me?
I used you as an example.
Oh, please don't. God uses me as an example already. We don't need to deal anymore. But you know, there is something that you mentioned that was funny.
Well, I mean, I mentioned a lot of things.
I mean,
that
yeah,
are
you're
funny,
a very funny-looking person.
Before we move on to that, I do want to say maybe God actually is using you as an example for like
he's doing not the job.
Yeah. For like other angels, you know, like the principalities, he's got to train them to be like, hey, if you're gonna like screw someone over, you got to do it right. This guy is called Jules, and they pull up like a profile of you. They have like your anatomical picture. You're sitting there. It's like, as you can see.
He's had some good in his life. Let's take care of that.
We use him as an example because somehow he keeps surviving.
He keeps living through this shit. I don't know. We keep giving him hurricanes, power outages. We let him starve for
if
like
any
a
of
week
you,
and a half, and he lived. He just
if
started
any of you
eating
can
himself.
Give him a run for his money. You get extra credit, and then you might get promoted to higher choir.
Yeah, if you can deal a decent blow to knock him off his stand. I mean, he's got to get off his high horse somehow.
You're on a horse?
I'm standing on it. On a pedestal. And I'm going,
huzzah.
Huzzah. I was going to say something very blasphemous, but I decided not to. So as to not invoke more of the wrath that I've already somehow invoked.
May God smite
please,
Jules.
Please, no, don't say that.
What's the difference between invoke and evoke?
Evocation is
evocation is a school of magic.
Invocation is summoning.
Okay.
Evocation.
Invoice.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Rich, did you have more to say about the?
No. But what's the other funny thing?
Well, I mean, you say so many funny things, but you did mention about cultures coming in and attacking other cultures and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I definitely. Mean,
there's the ancient Romans.
Oh,
we haven't spoken
yeah
about.
The ancient Romans are fun. They have a lot of funny little curses.
Oh, yeah. And they didn't just have curses. They had tablets. Lead tablets. Lead tablets that were inscribed with a variety of curses in a number of ways. One way was to get help from the dead. The tablets found in Roman graves were asking for help from particular deities to get revenge on someone by having that deity bestow malfeasance or misfortune upon them. In return, offerings would be made at their temple. Romans would also bury these tablets in front of thresholds or under trees outside of homes to bestow the curses. They thought that that being so close to the target's homes could help bring the gods to them to make it easier to curse them. It was also common to put these tablets in bodies of water.
Ah, the curse of lead poisoning.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Better you get fucking lead poisoning than me.
Honestly, I think that was really the thing causing all of the issues is because they were just so close to giant tablets of lead.
I mean, speaking of tablets made of things that poison people.
Oh, yeah.
the Ten Commandments.
Oh, my God.
Being housed in the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, that burns
have
some
long
people
been theorized to be radioactive.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Hence why when you open this Ark of the Covenant, you're exposing yourself to you're exposing yourself to radioactive material, which just gives you cancer and you die.
It's not that you're unworthy?
No, it's cancer.
How did it get so radioactive? Was it at like Hiroshima?
No, I think it was just
before,
like the material that it's the material that the tablets are made of, I think, are
plutonium
radioactive. Yeah.
They carved on directly onto plutonian tablets.
I mean, what, like, at least with what's happening with the main theorized place for the Ark of the Covenant is this place in, I think, Ethiopia. And the monks that go down there and, you know, keep watch over the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know exactly what they do, if they just, you know, go down there and watch TV and like eat snacks.
They,
you know,
come
just
up
like,
and say like, how you doing today, Ark? And it just doesn't respond.
It just glows in response.
It glows in sentences. Oh, hey, Bob, how you doing today?
I want... The elder monk is like, okay, if you get cancer in your right shoulder, it is yes. If you get cancer in your left shoulder, it is no.
Was that a yes or no? Two for yes, one for no. What the fuck does that mean? Why are you glowing so much today, Ark?
That's why we do the cancer thing. Left, right shoulder, so much easier.
So, I mean,
we should make that a sitcom.
But like the whole thing though is that like all of the monks that go down there like come out with cancer. And it's because of radiation poisoning, and they're like, "What is down there?"
The Arks, the monks, the Ark and me.
No. Why don't they just wear like hazmat suits?
Because they don't wear anything.
I don't
anything. I'm pretty sure monks wear some kind of garb.
They wear a toga, don't they?
They don't have the holy toga. Hazmat suit yet. Yeah. That hasn't come out.
They have a hazmat toga.
I'm sorry, but Versace hasn't released the holy hazmat suit yet. The Pope hasn't, you know, done anything for that one yet.
I
but,
bless
um,
this hazmat suit in the name of God.
I would like to see that. I mean, they have everything else. They have holy armor.
Is somebody...
The Pope-mobile.
Put
the Pope-mobile.
If somebody put, like, a very radioactive material in the Vatican, do you think the Pope would have a holy hazmat suit?
Yeah, he absolutely would.
I think we should... No.
No!
I'm kidding.
This is how we get cursed by Christ.
I know. Not by everyone. Everyone starts coming at us. We've gone after the French. We've gone after...
The Pope, but in Warhammer armor.
Holy Warhammer.
That would be fantastic, honestly. I want to see the current Pope and just a person's head and gigantic armor.
That is Warhammer 40K for you.
Mm. Yes.
And anyway, so we were talking about curses?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Are all curses
you
just
mentioned the
radiations?
Romans.
Yes.
And lead poisoning.
Yes.
So they inscribed.
They inscribbled
on these tablets of lead poisoning,
mm-hmm.
And so on these tablets are like curses, like
they would go. I curse your home. I curse your family. I curse your cow. And
then they
shame
threw
upon
it.
You. Shame upon your family. Shame upon your cow.
And then they threw it into the local
dishonor.
Well.
And then they put it into the dishonor. Dishonor on you. Dishonor your family. Dishonor on your cow. I keep forgetting which was shame, and then it was curse, and then. Go fuck yourselves. I don't know. That was at the end of tinier text in Sanskrit.
I think the oldest shit post in history was in
Sanskrit. Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was telling Mr. Deuce about this earlier, about the Sanskrit tablet talking about how a guy asked for like a good copper, and then he got no good copper, and he just started shit posting and talking about it, and sent it back to the guy.
Oh my god. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was like a 5-mile
People are
discourse.
Allowed to vent. I mean, if vent. How exactly would he accidentally like reply all? Is it like
he would make hundreds of these tablets, let them dry in the midday sun, and then have hundreds of people messengers just run them over to different towns and go,
"Oh shit, I forgot. I mean, 100 of them.
Count Chocula's. Count Chocula's on a rampage again. He's shit talking the copper seller.
I bet there's a shit post like somewhere in like cave paintings that a caveman made of another caveman. Like,
you took my wife. How dare?
They're like,
it hurt. I kill you.
Are you telling me that the French were having affairs even in the Neolithic period?
Oh my god.
Ho, ho, ho. How dare.
There's.
It is I, French caveman. Bonjour.
Weren't they Italian?
The caveman?
No,
or?
No. Like, well, yeah. Like, like, didn't most, like, didn't a lot of Neanderthals, like, go through Italy at some point?
I'm not, there's just I'm like not there's a caveman. Yeah.
I don't
want
to piss off the Italians. I apologize. I'm not calling.
Oh, so
Italians
we apologize to the Italians, but we don't apologize
okay, I'm sorry,
to the French.
French, I apologize to my people. I'm sorry.
Oh. I mean,
we will keep joking about the French.
There's a caveman named Berg, right? And then there's a caveman named Jean-Claude.
Oh my god. Jean-Claude.
Punching out like woolly mammoths.
Gaston?
Making a white flag Jean-Claude out of their flesh.
No one
hurts like Gaston.
No one's
in pain like Gaston.
No one curses like Gaston.
Ooh.
No one's as physically and mentally inept as Gaston.
Whoa. Don't you say that about my hero.
Is it because he's French?
No, it's because he's Gaston.
Oh my god.
Disgusting.
So it's personal.
Is it because you wish you were him?
No.
I'm now your therapist.
Alone. Yeah.
You mean we.
Whoa. Well, now that we've worked through our wee-wees and ha-ha's for the day.
Oh, right, yes. And we can take this out if we need to. Do we want to talk about Santeria curses?
No, we already talked about that in the other episodes.
What's a Santeria curse?
Oh my god, I'll tell you about it after.
We can bring it up a little bit, but
I have a full page.
Let's talk.
Why do you have a full page? Wait.
Let's talk. I want to talk about. So I want to talk about that one Roman curse.
I studied.
Santeria curses in college.
No.
Santeria.
I had. I talked to a lot of my coworkers who are Afro-Cuban, and from different parts of South America, and they all were very eager to tell me about this. So I got a bunch of information from them.
It's like a form of Brujeria. Except Brujeria and Santeria are not the same. It's like how a thumb is a finger, but not all fingers are thumbs.
The witch is known as a bruja.
Santeria is much more dramatic.
Whoa.
I'd pop a cap in Sancho.
Hold up.
Okay.
And hold her the only curse around. That my coworkers would even tell me about children. So please, tell us about the curse of Santeria.
I mean, we're cutting this out.
Are we?
Yeah.
Nah, you can tell. You can do some exposition.
Well, we should cut that first part out.
Well, yeah. I'm sure you'll
trim. Of course,
trim.
Naturally. Yep. We'll spend 3 hours combing over it.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, don't worry. We're already at like 3 hours.
And we're back.
What?
What?
Why would would we want to start like that?
Back to you, Jules.
Yeah, me?
No. So Santeria curses.
Yes.
Do we want to talk about this?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
From what I've gleaned from some of my coworkers, and former coworkers as well, it's mostly Afro-Cuban and Catholic traditions. It focuses on the bridging between the physical world and spiritual world of, and I might get this wrong, I apologize, of Orishas, these beings that can bestow blessings and curses alike through rituals performed at altars, which are thought to create a portal between the two realms. Practitioners employ dances, blood rituals, and sacrificial animal rituals to commune with their spirit guides and to request their assistance and guidance. And one of these most famous ones is the Mal de Ojo of Mexico, the Evil Eye. Origins are also in Greece, Rome, Mediterranean, and as far back as 1500 BC. It brings bad luck or bodily harm on those whose gaze it is cast. It can be intentional, but in Latin culture, unintentional, particularly if beautiful children are seen with envy or wantonness, resulting in sickness and or injury.
It is a lot. I do remember Santeria being based off of intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the intent that you have when you look at someone matters.
Yes.
We did have our Brujeria and Santeria episode, and we did mention like, if you look at someone wrong, you know, and you look at them with jealousy, you are inherently cursing them, right?
How dare you.
And it's weird because it's not the other way around.
Yeah.
It's like, if you put your bad intentions on someone else when you look at someone, you're cursing them. It's not you being cursed for, you know, being the one that's all like, meh, you know?
Right. It's well, it can go both ways.
I mean, there's good Santeria, which is really just reversing the bad sentity.
That stuff doesn't require blood rituals or sacrificial animals.
Right.
But yeah, there are good ones that can bestow blessings.
Right. At the time when we discussed this, we had a co-host named Giselle, and she talked about how in her family, they had, I think, a Santeria scare where her grandmother was coughing up blood, I believe.
What?
And it was like out of nowhere. She just like got sick out of nowhere, and then they ruled it as Santeria. They looked around the house to see what was going on, and they found a ritualistic sacrifice right outside her window.
Oh, as you do.
And once they didn't touch it. They got a good witch to come around and get rid of it and then reverse the curse. And you see, the thing about Santeria is that if someone does find your ritual sacrifice, they can turn that curse back onto you. So whoever the person was that cursed Giselle's grandmother just got fucked, probably.
Probably. And they probably wouldn't say it to anybody, because if they did, they'd be like, oh.
But that is the price. That is the price of Santeria, which is like, you know, don't do unto others what you wouldn't want done to you, basically. Yeah. And it does not ever happen to the witch. It happens to the person that's consulting the witch, right? Because usually the witches are supposed to be neutral, right? Mm-hmm. You come to me for something, I will help you do this.
Yeah.
But just know, if they find out about this and reverse it, they flip it and reverse it, it's going back to you.
It's going back to you, the person who's requesting this.
Yep.
But
I was going to say, a quick question.
Yeah.
Is it the witch who does the sacrifice, and was that a sloppy witch that was very easily thwarted?
I think it was like, in order for that kind of curse to work, it has to be at that person's like house, right? At the person you're cursing, near their room. So therefore they had to do that at their window, but it wasn't looking like it wasn't it. Like it was obvious. It was like hidden underneath like a bunch of foliage and stuff that had purposely put there underneath a bush.
Nobody noticed the brand new bush that appeared under their window.
I mean, well, when they looked, noticed, but like thankfully, I mean, if you do, you know, a lot of yard work, you could probably thwart some Santeria.
On accident.
Yeah. You know, just like come across, what is this like bird covered in glitter doing here?
I mean, why can't you just like clean up after you've completed your sacrifice, right? You just throw it into the trash?
Because it's a cursed object.
Yeah.
You can't like, cursed objects are not recyclable.
Depending on the ritual that whatever you use to imbue that darkness in, it has to either stay there and remain untouched for a while, or it can like leach back onto you, or it needs to be burned and purified in some way to not only get rid of it, the person that it's, get rid of the curse on the person, or it just removes the essence from those objects so that you can properly dispose of them. It's like having like a hazardous waste kind of, essentially is thought of.
I'm just sitting here like wondering, like, if you had like a long enough shovel, could you still like move it?
No, because it's attached to you, and it is you having the intention to remove it.
Someone so curses understand transitive property.
Essentially, yes. It's horrible.
I'm just imagining like a witch that's like, I don't want to fucking touch this, and they grab like a bunch of tongs and then just like the dead bird and just like toss it.
Well, just for actual like hygiene, you probably wouldn't want to touch blood rituals that have been sitting for a week.
What if someone was actually just trying to save the bird and then they just did a bad job at it? Oh my god, this bird has a broken wing. And oh my god.
It had you actually flew. Rip it in half.
You're like, be free. They throw it and it just hits the window. Just ragdolls.
I hate how many times I've accidentally cursed people that way.
Yeah,
it happens a lot.
But you know, that type of cursing and reversing the curse isn't just to Santeria. I mean, that's a lot of folktales in like Indiana, where I used to live, and nearby, where there's tales of like witches who were like had cursed farms with cows that have started bleeding out. And the people running the farm are like, why are my cows not giving milk? They're giving blood. Why are they bleeding in this way? And then they have someone and they're like, oh yeah, well, you know,
yeah,
this is what's happening.
Like,
and then they reverse it, and it turns out their next door neighbor had previously contacted that same witch and was like, get rid of their milk. I want to sell more milk to them.
I imagine being the neighborhood witch has, like, you're privy to all the tea.
All the gossip, yeah.
You have all the tea. Like, anyway, going to kind of like a Christian style of cursing.
Oh, right. Cain, is it?
Yeah, let's talk about Cain a little bit. Oh, no. So what I know about Cain, and what a lot of people who've watched, if you guys have heard of Wendigoon.
Oh, I love that guy. He's so great.
There's a YouTuber. Some people like to bring up this theory, especially if they're his fans, that is, children of Cain kind of exist in the present world, you know, his descendants, and they are doomed to be evil. They're cursed, in essence, to always be evil. And there's just that whole theory. And then, you know, like, the son of Seth, I believe, is the, or the children of Seth, I believe, are the people that exist today. That was the sound of God in the background.
It's it's surprising, but I actually muted him, but it still picked up. Which is really impressive.
It pierced the veil, so to speak.
I would have to mute everybody in order for him to take a single sip of water.
Now that's karma.
Meanwhile, you know, I can take a nice sippy without anybody noticing.
You know what? I'm going to do the same.
Yeah, sorry. I thought I could get away with that, and I could not.
I even tried to help you get away with it, and you still failed me.
Don't know. How did your mic, how did his mic pick it up?
Because you were very loud.
So, Cain.
Oh, yeah.
Children of Cain are evil. What do you know about Cain?
Honestly, less than I should. But basically, the story goes is that we got, you know, two brothers. We got Cain and Abel. And they're both vying for, you know, to do a good job.
Yeah.
And at some point, Cain gets a little annoyed at his brother Abel. I don't exactly remember why. I think Abel was just better in general. And Cain said, I know exactly how to deal with this problem. You deal with it in the exact same manner you deal with any problem in life. So you grab a large rock and you beat your brother to death.
What?
Yeah, that's what he did.
He beat his brother?
Yes, his brother Abel.
I mean, what? You didn't know the story of Cain and Abel?
No, I didn't read it. That's why I was leaving it up to you guys.
It's my favorite children's book.
It really is a children's book, I'm not going to lie.
I didn't know that was a true part of the story. I only know Cain and Abel from SCP.
What?
Yeah.
They're an SCP?
You didn't know that?
They are, actually.
Why would
they
I know? They're like one of the first ones.
Okay, was the Foundation in existence around the time of Cain and Abel?
No, they found him. Actually, let me pull it up.
Why don't...
What? What?
You can't just casually be pulling up the SCP Foundation in the middle of the podcast.
I just did.
Well, I mean, what I know about the Cain and Abel from the SCP Foundation is that Cain is the good guy.
Of course he is.
And that Abel is the bad guy. Because Abel is, like, just some guy that's really, he's really, like, you know, hungry for battle. And he's constantly wanting to fight everybody until he meets Cain again. And then if he fights Cain again, then, like, the timeline resets and the universe stops. I don't know. There's something kind of like that. Cain is, like, this really passive guy that's like, yeah, I'm a dude. You know, like, and if anyone tries to hurt me, you know, they die. It's kind of like the same type of Cain from... Vampire Masquerade, except way more, like, just chill.
Well, I was going to say that God does not share the SCP Foundation's view upon the matter, considering that they...
He's also in the SCP.
Of course. Of course God is.
Well, one of them.
But God, you know, cursed Cain after he murked his brother to forever become, like, a wanderer. And then he proceeded to wander all across the earth or something like that. Yes. And he was never able to plant seeds and all this because apparently the earth drank the blood of Abel and thus was rendered infertile
gained taint.
Yeah. The earth was forever tainted by Abel's blood. And thus, in Vampire the Masquerade, Cain became, you know, the first vampire. Did you say Abel cannot die?
Yes.
And then how does Cain kill Abel?
Well, because Abel attacks Cain.
Well, it's really hard for Abel to die.
Cain is completely...
He can take multiple 50 caliber rounds to the head and survive for several minutes to continue killing.
Wait, he can survive for several minutes.
He can
that
swat
doesn't mean that he
bullets out of the air. He can survive for 1 hour deprived of oxygen before finally asphyxiating. He has been killed from sustained gunfire.
But he regenerates.
Yes.
He has like a spawn point.
He dies and he comes back. It's a cube. It's a stone.
Mel, would you like to offer any commentary?
So, is this, like, specific episode about curses?
Yes.
Yes, curses, okay. Runes, and written
so
in stone.
So, what I've heard about curses is typically you need something from the person that you want to curse, like a lock of their hair or, like, mm-hmm. a fingernail or toenail or, like, something like that.
Some of their genetic material.
And then usually you have to bring it to, like, somebody that can actually do the curse, or they give you, like, some sort of, like, ritual type saying that you have to say in order for the person to be cursed, and there are just steps that have to happen in order for that to happen.
An incantation, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we talked just previously about Santeria, which is like the, you said Afro-Cuban plus Catholic kind of version of witchcraft.
Yeah.
And generally, like, it does involve people going to a witch, wanting someone to be cursed, and then the witch being like, okay, here's the idea. You gotta, like, do this and this. I'll take care of it. But, however, if, you know, you screw up or I screw up, this curse is gonna go on to you.
Yeah.
Instead of the person that you want to go
on. Or they have to give, like, something up of themselves in order to, for it to come true.
Right, right. Typically. Have you heard of any curses, like, in any kind of place or anywhere that's known to be cursed?
Like, I've had it where I've heard of, like, buildings that are, like, sussy, or, like, people have seen, like, ghosts, or, like, they think that there's curses there. I remember back where I used to live, there was, like, a forest area that I went to that people said was cursed, and there was, like, a bunch of weird stuff there, but, like...
I think I remember you telling me that story.
But most of it was stuff like a lot of people had like lived there and things like that that just made it seem like it was weird. I'm not really sure if it was actually cursed, but oh yeah, and there was also that tree that I told you about that had the bras.
Yes, yeah, the tree with all the bras
I'm
on
sorry,
it.
Sorry, the what?
The bra tree?
Yeah. When I
the tree of the bra.
What's a bra?
Debauchery.
So this is like a little weird story. I don't really know, like, true and whatever, but back where I used to live, mm-hmm. I had a group of male friends I made, and they brought me and a fellow female friend to this place because it was also next to like an area that was run down and had like an underground kind of place that you could go into.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also something that was really weird, and it was a bunch of bras on multiple trees in a circle.
What?
Yeah.
The bra witches.
Yeah, which then, like, one of the guys was like, yeah, this is like a rape circle.
Oh. So you're telling me that a group of men brought you to a rape circle?
Yes.
That is surrounded, that is near the bra tree.
Yes. It's
where a bunch of bras bring...
But they were like, no, 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 we didn't bring you here for, like, that reason. We wanted to show you, like, the underground part. And I was like, I'm out. And then
this
I
just
left.
Foresees the underground part.
The fact that there's a rape circle, there's
not,
probably a rape dungeon in the deeper catacombs.
We're, we're not here to commit sexual assault. We're here to commit human sacrifice. That's what we're doing downstairs.
God.
Come on.
Oh, okay.
We're not,
well,
we're not
case,
monsters.
We're just cultists.
It was just very, very odd. And I just was like, hey, I don't really feel comfortable like being here, so I'm going to leave.
That's fair.
So I left.
Based.
What, the other girl stay?
No, she cried.
Oh, my.
Did she
and
come
then
with
died.
You?
Yeah, she chased after me because I initially started running and I thought she was with me. And then I turned around and then she wasn't. And then I went back.
Oh, my God.
And then we ran away. but I thought she was with me, running with me, because I heard another like footstep behind me, but nobody was there.
Oh,
so.
Jesus.
This is, like a, this is like a horror movie.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
She was running behind me, and then she wasn't.
Yeah, but then eventually, like...
somebody else.
Eventually, the guys came over to me and, like, apologized and started talking to me, and I was just like, you guys, like, I don't know what
we don't
want
to talk to you anymore.
I was like, I don't know what the heck y'all thought was, like, a good idea here, but, like, okay.
We and just wanted to see
an
abandoned building.
She ended up dating one of the guys in the group later on.
What'd you say?
She ended up dating one of the men in that group later on.
Is it a, was it a good relationship? Or
no.
A,
oh. No. Okay.
It was not. It was a very
who could have
weird
foreseen
situation.
That?
Yeah, I know, right?
Seems
not
so
healthy.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not really sure if this, like, correlates to this that much, but, like...
We love all input and tangents.
To be fair, that is a very cursed story. I'm sure that area has its fair share of curses upon it.
Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they're all okay now. I don't talk to any of them anymore because, like, I knew them back in high school.
I hope they're okay mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them are not so from what I've heard, but, like, I still hope them the best, though. I think that they just need some help.
That's fair.
That's how I feel about some people I know. When
okay,
it's like,
don't say that about Jules. God.
What? I didn't even hear what you said. What
it's
did you
okay,
say about
buddy.
Me?
We hope you're doing okay.
What did you say about
We're
me?
With you, Jules.
Oh.
Puts hand on table.
No, puts other hand up
hand.
On
that's
your mute button.
Disgusting. How dare you? What would you
no, no, no. It's I'm supporting you, but I can't reach you from here.
Correct. So.
Yeah, so you're consoling me through the mute button?
It's just so that you know that I could mute, but I don't because I love you.
Why do you hurt me this way?
I'm not hurting you. That's why. Anyway.
So we were talking about, what was the first Christian curse? Yeah, Cain.
Yep,
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Cain and Abel. Yeah, now we're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. Luckily, there's not much to say here aside from Sodom and Gomorrah were two cities that were famously known for their adultery.
Oh, they're the ones that got wiped out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got
they kind of got like fire and brimstoned.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like it wasn't like a lot of people today, especially people who really dislike homosexuality will say like, "Oh yeah. It's because of the gays that like Sodom and Gomorrah got wiped out by God because he hates gay people."
I thought it was a mix of literally everything.
There was
like multiple different reasons why.
Oh yeah, no, literally they committed like every single like crime.
Didn't they also have like pedophilia too?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
lots of it. And yeah, they like people. One the main character of that part of the Bible, I forgot his name, but he and his it was his wife, him and his two daughters. He was about to like sell his daughters. Basically for sex.
Yeah, no, I remember that. I read that.
And it follows like an angel that was sent there to find some good people that were there, right, and save them maybe. So he finds this guy, and then the angel convinces him, "Hey, I'm not here for that. I'm here to tell you that in like, you know, a little bit,
if you don't change your ways,
everyone's gonna die, and when this happens, leave." So that you and your family can survive because you guys are the last good people. However, God has a little bit of a condition here. If you look back at the city while it's being destroyed, you're going to turn into a pillar of salt. Okay, bye-bye. So he was just like, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say, nobody made it out because I thought they looked back and then they had the same thing basically happen to them.
It was his wife. The guy's wife looked back. She was like, okay, I left the oven on. And then she
she saw the explosion in the distance and was like, oh. And then Ed caught up to him because they didn't keep walking.
Does the husband turn around and realize this? Or is he just like, nope, I was told not to look back. And, you know, my wife stopped following, but that's okay.
Only one. He stopped hearing one set of footsteps.
Oh, yeah?
He was like, thank God.
I've heard, like, things about people making dolls that look like people, other people.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yep, voodoo dolls.
God. I watched some sort of movie when I was, like, a little kid that had that.
Like Orpheus.
It was pretty weird.
The opposite of
one of the other Christian curses, the only one I want to talk about next, is, I really think this guy's name was, he didn't have a name, quote, but it was like Longinus or something.
Longinus?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they call him Longinus. They call him
I like
Longinus.
Latinus better.
But But, you guys hear so that? The story is that there was a blind Roman soldier that, during Christ's crucifixion, stabbed Jesus in the side, and Jesus' blood got on his face and cured him of his blindness. That's however, cool. God remembered his role in the crucifixion, which was like, I think it was like the killing blow, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Because of that, he was cursed with immortality. And the legend is that he is still roaming the earth today.
Oh, it's me.
And he is waiting until the second coming or the end of the world.
Yeah, you know, I think I've heard about that as well.
There was a movie that has him as a character. I'm pretty sure it was... I don't know what you two are doing.
Sorry, it's just really funny. He said that it was him. And due to his religious background, it made it even funnier.
So, yes, Longinus, they call him, even though he doesn't have an official name.
Is it because his life is very long?
Yeah.
I remember I saw recently on some sort of like either like social media or in like an article or something that you know how there's a lot of times where people are like, we're all gonna die in like this specific year or something. One of them actually like people really really thought was true because it correlated with like the Bible or something, and then like it just like lined up too much or something. I don't know if you've heard about that, but it was like within it was like in the past like 3 to 5 years, I think, or something.
Yeah, there was like a bunch of theories.
Yeah,
about like people that are correlating certain events that are kind of, you know.
Yeah, like they're like, yeah, this is the signs of the second Christ and things like that. So
I mean, I think. Fortunately, I mean, what I will say about that with, because I've looked into this a lot myself, and I know this story, like, front to back, it has happened before, so people have always thought, like, is this, you know, is this the Whore of Babylon, or is this, like, the,
it's me.
It's not you, Jules.
Sorry.
Honestly, it might be.
It could be.
Okay.
I'm Babylonian.
Okay. By nature. I don't like you rejecting Jules like that. Yeah, I think we should take some serious, you know, consideration to the fact he might be the Whore of Babylon.
Yeah,
the Whore of Babylon 5.
Because he's French.
I kind of wonder why there's been so many things over the past few years of people being like, oh my god, it's the end.
Yeah. People thought it was the end when World War II was starting. Because people thought that Hitler was the Antichrist, which, not surprisingly so, I would have believed that too at the time. But then they defeated him, so he's no longer a problem. So they're like, okay, was he the Antichrist? Probably not, because he's dead. So
crisis was averted. Saved everyone, guys.
Yeah. Why couldn't it have been the second coming of Christ? You know, it's just like, you know, Jesus killed the Antichrist. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That ain't right. Who killed Hitler? That was probably Jesus.
Why would you say that?
No.
How dare you?
Sorry. Anyway.
Well, my point being is like...
It's funny, but not funny.
Just like how the end of the world has been prophesized and, you know, everyone thought the end of the world was going to be in 2000. Everyone thought the end of the world was going to be before that. People thought it was going to be in 2012. You know.
Oh yeah, like with the Mayan calendar and everything. Yeah,
I just wonder if anybody felt that way when it was like the 1900s or the 1800s or the 1700s, because I don't ever.
Well,
hear
I
about
felt
that
way in 2012, but.
I'm sure someone's felt that way. They tried to probably correlate what events were going on in their life or events in their country to what was happening in the Bible. They probably thought, you know, the war between Spain, France, and England. You know, was probably to them the end of the world. They probably thought that, like, Queen Elizabeth was the Whore of Babylon. You know, they probably thought that, like, the king was the Antichrist. You know, it's usually something like that. Although, what they say and what they prophesize about that is that the Antichrist is supposed to come from the Middle East. He's supposed to rise in the Middle East with like mega charisma. Like his riz is supposed to be like off the charts, and that's how he gets into power, is what it's written basically. And then at his side he has like a co-conspirator known as the Whore of Babylon. I know. It's like, you are the Whore of Babylon. It's like, I'm the vice president of the company, sir. Why are you calling me the Whore of Babylon?
You don't understand. Because he rose in the Middle East and he's setting in the Middle West.
It's so good. It's such a good joke.
He's the sun. That was a good joke. Why aren't you guys laughing?
You guys are a bunch of monsters.
That's it's funny. Beautiful. That was multi-layered and I loved that.
Right?
So
anyway, so yeah, like the end of days is prophesized very often, you know.
Honestly, the end of days should be an episode in itself.
Oh, certainly. I could ramble like off like of 15 on hand that are just from different societies. Like just think about like Ragnarok for the Norse people.
Oh yeah.
Think of Pompeii. You know, there's a lot of different like volcanic explosions. Every time a volcano has exploded, it is the end of the world somewhere.
Right. And you know what?
I'll write it down.
We'll get into that next time. So, you have one last curse you want to talk about.
One of my favorite curses.
And then I'll spend 6 hours editing this episode.
Good.
Of How to Cry Monster.
Good. Got to keep you busy. Right.
So this is a particularly good curse that I've heard about through a friend of ours. It's known as Dunbar's Curse.
Dunsparce?
Yes.
My favorite Pokemon.
Dunbar's Curse. Yeah. Dunbar's Curse. In 1525, the Archbishop of Glasgow, Gavin Dunbar, issued a 1,000-word curse over the border the border reavers.
Should have had a word count.
I was going to say, was it all in like one breath?
Yeah. Just like that. Just like how I did it.
Like, it's like Eminem rapping.
Yeah.
That must have been really
all in
cool.
One giant column. It cursed the border reavers, which was another word for thieves, and all of their descendants. It was known as the mother of all curses for being so vile, and it was read on by at every pulpit and mercant post in the borderlands.
Did it work?
It stopped them, yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Because, I mean, I could write, like, a whole dissertation about my shift at Publix. But I don't know.
This is your curse, yeah.
But I don't know if like it would work, right? I don't know if like if it would like affect anything. I mean, people write shit posts all the time.
Yeah.
When they're upset, you know,
but
or
this,
have
this
like
dude
a, have like a twit longer
word essay.
Write like a twit longer about a set they lost in Smash, you know? Like, goddamn that Kazuya.
It not just, like, cursed the reavers themselves, but it also cursed their horses, their clothing, their crops, and all who ate them in any way.
Interesting.
I do have a little excerpt of the curse, if you want to.
Ooh.
Would it, okay.
Last extract.
Here's the thing. Aided in, like, a knowing way? Like, they knowingly aided thieves?
Way.
Okay. And not, like,
being their secretary.
It wasn't just the thieves. They weren't all like thieves.
I curse you and I curse the drive-thru employee that gives you your McGriddle.
Right.
No, not that.
So it wasn't quite all thieves. So reavers would raid towns in England and Scotland. And the men that were sent to deal with them would usually become corrupt because they were good at talking their way out of stuff and talking people into their group. So the people that were sent to deal with them would become corrupt and join them. So it wasn't just like the thieves themselves, but it was also like corrupt cops, corrupt, you know, the people that were like priests and the people that were sending them this curse, essentially.
Yes.
And if I made this a small extract.
Yes.
I'm not going to do an accent. I was going to.
What accent?
Oh, Scottish accent.
Please don't.
I won't.
We're going to get so many curses on this episode from the French alone already.
I curse their head and all the hairs on their head. I curse their face, their eyes, their mouth, their tongue, their teeth, their neck, their shoulders, their breast, their heart, their stomach, their back, their womb, their arms, their legs, their hands, their feet, and every part of their body. From the top of their head to the soil of their feet, before and behind, within and without, I curse them going and I curse them riding. I curse them standing and I curse them standing and I curse them sitting. I curse them eating and I curse them drinking. I curse them walking and I curse them sleeping. I curse them rising. I curse them laying. I curse them at home. I curse them away from home. I curse them within the house. I curse them without the house. I curse their whiffis.
What?
Their whiffis. W-I-F-F-I-S. Their barnus. Wives. Their wives. Oh.
I don't know Wi-Fi's. If that means wives.
I would say wifies. Wives.
The waities.
Wait.
May your should, Wi-Fi always
should
be
we
bad.
Finish the curse, or would that curse someone by accident?
No. It's just a little short part of it.
But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It goes on.
Yeah,
their wives,
long.
Their children, their servants participating in with their deeds. I curse their corn, their cattle, their wool, their sheep, their horse, their swine, their geese, their hennies, and all their livestock. I curse their...
He didn't curse the dog or the cat.
They curse their halls, their rooms, their kitchens, their stables, their barns, their byres.
Their office, their barnyards,
their vegetable patches.
Their switch.
Their plows, their barrels, and the...
He curses their farming equipment.
He curses everything that is necessary for sustainability and welfare. It's spelled the old way with like very few like translation essentially. So it's instead of their kitchens, it's their kachingas.
Oh.
There's stanilis, their barnies, their beris, their barnyardis, their kayardis, all that. So I'm trying to translate as we go. But
that's a fun curse.
Yeah, no, it goes further.
This is the short version.
This is an extract.
I feel like he covered everything that was necessary.
No, he covered more.
Yeah, but like, what does he say next? Like, I curse every blade of grass that has ever touched your foot.
Yes,
I curse.
It goes further.
I curse the entire race from which you belong.
He goes
being the same one as mine.
Way into detail about what he's. He got really mad at these people.
I curse everyone you've ever met, including me.
Yeah, rightfully
May
so.
May they all die.
I mean, from what I hear, they would just like go town to town and just raid them for stuff. So he gave them no chance of settling down, essentially.
So he escalated directly to curse.
He went, you took my bed. I'm going to make sure you don't ever sit in one ever again.
But I'm not going to hurt you physically. I'm going to write a
limerick.
I'm
going to cast God on your soul.
I mean, theoretically.
Essentially.
If you want to screw with someone, that's what you do.
If they're religious, oh, yeah. It'll
you
end
curse
them.
Everything. You curse everything
it
else
ended
around them.
All of their careers and lives.
Nobody ever
and
stole
families.
Again.
And nobody ever stole in Scotland again.
The end.
The end to Glasgow.
Lest it be their virginity.
What? I think that's part of it, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I curse your virginity.
May you be deflowered.
Thank you for joining us with How to Cry Monster today. I, as usual, I'm your host, Neil.
I'm your co-host, Jules. And who's you?
And I'm your tech guy, Mike.
Right.
Mike.
And also joining us as our special guest today, we have the lovely Mel.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Glad to have you.
That being said, don't get cursed.
Don't look at runes.
Make sure you got some salt if you do.
Do your best not to eat mummies. It's bad for your health.
If you
spiritually and otherwise.
I mean, if you
read something that's ancient, follow it. Follow it.
If you screw around, you're gonna find out.
Do not read 1,000-word-long curses on your people or others. You might get cursed yourself.
Yes.
And if your curse has a word count, add some filler words if you need to.
Yeah.
Or chat GBT.
Make it up. Oh.
Chat GBT your curse.
Fake your curse. AI your curse.
Whatever you do, don't do that.
Yes.
Have curse people. You want to have like some genuine,
forgive.
Natural,
don't curse.
Homemade curses.
Mm-hmm.
AI will taint it. You don't want AI curses. They're bad.
Taint. echoing taint. Taint.
All right. I think that'll do it. Thank you all for joining.
Thank you.
And good night. Thanks for listening.
See you again later. Bye.
We
are. The French word for bye.
Rock you.